The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You pay tithes of mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier things of the law, judgment and mercy and fidelity. But these you should have done without neglecting the others. Blind guides, who strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You cleanse the outside of cup and dish, but inside they are full of plunder and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, clean first the inside of the cup, so that the outside also may be clean." The Gospel of the Lord. The finest definition of a gentleman I learned by reading a book by St. John Henry Newman called The Idea of a University. By the way, you may have heard that just last week, Pope Leo XIV declared that John Henry Newman is a doctor of the church. Being a doctor of the church does not mean that Newman can prescribe medicine for physical maladies, but rather his writings provide healing for moral and spiritual maladies. His insights about the Christian faith are a salve for eternal healing and wholeness. In The Idea of a University, Newman offers a pithy definition of a gentleman, writing this: "A gentleman is someone who does not cause pain to another person. Would that all men might not just learn but live by that standard of being a gentleman, especially in their interactions with their wives. Do not cause pain to another." Incidentally, if you would like a 3D color picture of that definition of a gentleman in action, I highly recommend a book I'm reading now called A Gentleman in Moscow by Amor Towles. What Newman put philosophically in his book, Towles paints fictionally in his book. The notion of a gentleman comes to the foreground in Towles' novel when the protagonist, Count Rostov, is invited to an unexpected dinner by a Russian Bolshevik. Count Rostov is an aristocrat, doing his best to maintain his decency and dignity while under house arrest in a fancy hotel called the Metropole. During dinner, the communist, who is really spying on the count, asks, "What is it about me that makes you so sure that I am not a gentleman?" And the count's answer essentially paraphrases Newman when he says, "As a host, it was perfectly appropriate for you to take up the serving tools, but a gentleman would have served his guest before he served himself." The count continued, "A gentleman wouldn't gesture at another man with his fork or speak with his mouth full. But perhaps most importantly," the count said, "he would have introduced himself at the beginning of a conversation, particularly when he had the advantage over his guest." In a word, a gentleman makes life more pleasant, not more painful, for others. In the gospel today, Jesus levels severe criticisms against the scribes and the Pharisees that sounds surprisingly similar to the count's complaints against the communist. Our Lord states, "You pay tithes of mint and dill and cumin, but have neglected the weightier things of the law, judgment and mercy and fidelity." That is, they obey the strict letter of the law while completely ignoring the spirit of the law. And what at root is the spirit of the law? Love of neighbor. Or as Newman and Towles articulated it, not to cause pain to others. The scribes and the Pharisees utterly fail at being gentlemen. My friends, I would encourage you to learn and live by Newman's definition of a gentleman in all areas of life, not just men, but also women. Try not to cause pain to others, because these are what Jesus calls the weightier things of the law. But let me invite you especially to keep this principle in mind when you come to Mass and we try to pray together in community. The best rule of thumb in celebrating the liturgy is don't cause pain to others while you offer praise and glory to God. You know, sometimes people ask me, should we hold hands during the Our Father? Should I kneel or stand or sit when I return to the pew after communion? Should I genuflect or bow when I enter the sanctuary to lecture or serve as a Eucharistic minister? Should I leave right after Holy Communion? Actually, no one asks that. They just do it. Sometimes we can become Nazis or communists about the liturgical rubrics, the rules, that we forget about putting my neighbor at ease and helping them to pray better. We cannot pray to the God we cannot see while causing pain to the neighbor that we can see. Whether in the liturgy or in life, keep that little conversation in mind between a communist and a count. What is it about me that makes you so sure I am not a gentleman? Jesus would answer, "You have forgotten the weightier things of the law, judgment and mercy and fidelity." And Newman, the newest doctor of the church, would have prescribed the medicinal reply, "A gentleman is someone who does not cause pain to another." Praised be Jesus Christ.